I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
John, last night you and I recorded the single greatest hour of audio podcasting the world has ever seen in my dreams.
Oh.
And I don't remember any of it, except as I was falling asleep and it was kind of happening, I was like, man, this is gold. I had to write this shit down.
John didn't or at all. He barely said, you know. It was great. Minimal editing.
It was just an awesome conversation. And I just remember, and I woke up this morning going, wow, that was such a great, and I don't remember any of it.
Mm. Well, you can never relive that anyway. You know, it's, I watched a documentary this week, and it's called Bill Frisell, A Portrait. And Bill Frisell is a jazz guitar player, although he has other.
I was going to say that name was very familiar.
It's on Amazon Prime. So it's, you can watch that.
He's no, like, I meant his name.
Yeah.
Bill Frisell. Yeah.
Yeah. The documentary that I watched is on Amazon Prime. So you might have even, run across it. It's very good. It's worth watching if you're a creative person, just because it's a lot about his creative process. And he's a guy that I've listened to a lot over the years. He makes really cool albums. But he was talking about how, you know, you were just mentioning about how you couldn't remember what you wanted to do. And I think in certain creative things, sometimes you, like, one of the things that he said is that he had a gig that, like, they were doing a residency with him and a piano player and a drummer, and they were doing a residency at this place, Yoshi's, which is a jazz club in San Francisco. And the one night they, you know, they sort of got into these like uncharted areas, and it was amazing. It was like really quite a breakthrough, and they were just, you know, really in sync with each other. And he said, you know, and the desire, you know, the impulse is to, oh, what were we doing? Let's go back and do that, because that really worked. And that is really the antithesis of it, because it's when you try to recapture something, it can almost never happen. Mm. You just find yourself chasing something rather than being open to whatever creative spirit is happening. And that's obviously what jazz is about, because we're improvising music in general, because you're making it up on the spot. But I think it's applicable to writing and other things as well. Like, sometimes you're going to just catch it and you're going to have a 5,000 word day or something. And then the next day, if you really try to, well, what did I do yesterday that let me hit that stuff? And I think that's kind of dangerous to walk down that path.
You know, you just made me think of something when you talked about, you know, these three people in residency and kind of getting together and playing music. Have you ever had the experience where someone finds out for the first time that you play guitar and they insist that you must come over and play something for them? Bring your guitar, play something. And, you know, you hem and haw maybe a little bit, but eventually you say sure, because there's some sort of party going on or there's a get together, something, right? And they're like, oh, you know, all these people are good. You know this person. Bring your guitar, play a couple songs. And you bring your guitar. And when you get there is when they go, oh, and this is my friend, I don't know, Humperdinck. And Humperdinck plays guitar too. So you should sit down here and just play some songs together. And then you're kind of like, you know, that doesn't always really work. Two complete strangers sitting down to try to figure out songs to play together. You get what I'm saying?
I do. It's funny with that. In my life, I don't like that situation. Not even playing with somebody that I haven't played with before. I actually kind of like that part of it. It's the, hey,
bring your guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I've played lots of gigs in my life, obviously. And when it's the correct environment, that the expectation is I'm going to this bar and I'm going to set up my stuff and I'm going to play, and people will choose to listen to me. I don't like, now, obviously in that situation, someone's asking you, but you don't know if anybody else at the party really wants to hear you strum your guitar.
Right.
So like, it's always an awkward situation to me. And for the most part, I almost always decline. It's like, nah, that's okay. Like, I don't, you know, that's
fine. I do now.
Yeah.
I do now. I didn't used to.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happened was I would get invited over to someone's house and they'd be like, you know, yeah, we just want you to, you know, we love the way your guitar sounds, or we love this or that, you know, just play some songs. And what I kept running into is there would always be that one person, or possibly more than one person, who, you know, after the host says, oh, you know, sit here and play some guitar. Hey, everybody, Patrick's going to play some music. There'd always be that one person or a couple people who, that's when they choose to be the loudest people in the room and constantly trying to talk over whatever it is you're doing. And I just decided that was not worth it anymore.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I declined that situation mostly because there's nothing worse than someone that artificially inserts themselves into a situation and is like, hey man, check me out. Like, so that's we talk about that a lot. Oh man, that's really so obviously attention seeking and all that. I had a gig years ago. It was a solo gig at a bar. And
Hello. And
this one guy kept coming. He's like, hey man, let me sing a song with you. I didn't know this guy at all.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I was just trying to politely, you know, just say that, no, that's not cool. And he was like insistent. And I kept kind of saying no. And I was really polite. And I don't know if I was doing the looping thing at the time with my looping devices or what, but at one point I just kind of backed away from the mic because I was sort of concentrating on playing like a little instrumental thing on the guitar. And you know, this Emmer Effer like jumped up and took the mic and like sang this, like there was only like a foot or two. I didn't back. It wasn't like a stage. It was like, I was in the corner of some bar and I was doing some Beatles song. And he took the last chorus of that Beatles song. Like he couldn't help himself.
Wow.
It was obnoxious to say the least. But that was, that's never a good situation.
And the flip side is, do you know such and such song by this independent artist that I saw twice at a bar three blocks from here? Do you know that song?
Yeah, I'm not great. I don't have an awesome repertoire of songs because most of the songs that I learned how to play over the years, they were songs that I would sing in a band. And 9 out of 10 times, I'm not doing them in the original key. I'm doing it in a key that works for my voice. So it's hard for me to like just sit in with people. I mean, I could figure it out, but I don't have a great repertoire of songs. I have the songs that I know how to play and sing, which I could do very well, but I have a good ear and stuff too. Well, a few weeks ago when we had my wife's birthday party where we all played songs, and that was really fun because that was sort of the conceit of the parties. They're like, hey, bring your stuff. And it was mostly musicians there, so it was fun. And I, the keyboard player that I've been playing with, we had like 5 or 6 songs that we had worked on and we played. But I had a guitar player friend of mine, a saxophone player friend of mine, and a drummer friend of mine who did not rehearse with us at all, just showed up and played, and they were awesome. Like they never played these songs, but they kind of knew the songs. They were well-known songs. But the guitar player especially, you know, he's a pro, this guy though. That's what he does for a living. And the fact that he just was just, you know, blended in and figured everything out right away and took great solos and knew all the, he has a really big, again, he's a year or two younger than I am, but he's spent the past 25 years playing gigs. So he's got a huge, you know, repertoire of songs that he knows. And he just knows how to kind of lay back. And, you know, he was never, you know, out in front. He was always just kind of like laying something down, but it was great. I mean, I really admire people who could do that because that's not one of my skills, that's for sure. But yeah, that Frizzell movie is definitely worth checking out. It's funny. I was thinking, you know, so I'm living in a new place now. We've only been here a couple weeks. I'm getting settled. I just went for all the various shows that I'd been watching. I felt like there was a run of a couple of months where, you know, I'd watch a season of something. And then as soon as I'd be done, there'd immediately be something that like, ooh, that's the next one. You know, and I had that going for a while. And I just finished about a week ago, I finished the second season of Jessica Jones. And now I'm like, okay, there's a couple things that I want to watch now, but I'm not sure which one, because that's the thing. It's like, I don't know. It's like a not really a total first world problem here, right? Like, ooh, what should I watch next? I don't know. It's so hard to make a decision about this. But it kind of is, because if you're sort of committing to something, it's like, I'm going to watch this for the next week or 2 weeks. And most of the time, like I said, I know exactly what I want to watch next and I go right into it. But now there's a couple, because I think a lot of it was like the second seasons of something or the third seasons of something. So it would be easy to go into. But I find myself in that position. But I am caught up on all the Marvel stuff now. I watched The Punisher and I watched the second season of Jessica Jones. Because I was like, wow, maybe I'm just like not into the Marvel stuff as much. But I thought The Punisher was great. I was really surprised with that. You said you watched that, right?
I did, yeah, and I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. I thought it was not a superhero show, though. And that's
no,
fine.
It was a soldier coming home.
Yeah.
And the issues that you deal with.
What I was really impressed with was how unusual the story was, because I thought I knew what that story was going to be. And it was that, you know, because it's his story is introduced in the second season of Daredevil, like his family gets killed and, you know, shady government dealings, and he's going to go and kill everybody that was involved in this. So obviously you knew that, but it was a lot more than that. And some really odd choices and story elements that really paid off, and really everything was there for a reason. And I don't know who the writers were on it, but I was really surprised, you know, with Micro and his family and that whole thing. And I'm like, wow, they're going here with that. That was, I was really surprised. I don't know if, you know, you being a author and a storyteller, I don't know how you felt about the choices being pretty different. I thought not the same old, same old.
No, I liked it a lot. And there's been some criticisms of the slow burn with that show.
Mm-hmm.
And people expect what they call Frank Castle violence.
Right.
And they expect it fast and furious and relentlessly. And that show didn't really do that.
No.
It had a slow burn. And I liked the slow burn. I liked that they built up everything that was going on with him, and they didn't make it just about him going around, you know, shooting people and stabbing them and all the usual shit that he does. They made it, I felt, more nuanced and gave a lot of levels and layers to his character and to the characters around him. And I liked that. And then I felt like when it did come time for the violence was far more impactful. There was a couple of episodes where you just kind of sat back and went, holy shit. Wow.
It's brutal when it's there. Yeah. It's brutal. And I had sort of put that one off in the corner. I think with Marvel, with the Netflix Marvel shows, I was, as everybody was, you know, I loved everything that they had done. I loved the first two seasons of Daredevil. I loved the first season of Jessica Jones. Loved Luke Cage.
But Iron Fist and Defenders was a disappointment.
Yeah, Iron Fist especially. Obviously, we don't need to rehash that. But Iron Fist was bad. And I liked the Defenders. The problem with the Defenders was it's sort of, in some ways, kind of season two of Iron Fist in terms mm-hmm. of the storyline. So you kind of had to watch Iron Fist to watch the Defenders. And I still liked it. I liked the Defenders a lot. But then when Punisher was coming out, did they postpone the Punisher a little bit because there was that shooting? I feel like there was a shooting and
they may have. Yeah.
They may have put it back a little bit, like maybe postponed it by a month. But either way, it was out for a while before I got to it. I feel like that came out in the fall maybe, or I don't know. I think last year, like 2017. So I just watched it maybe a month ago. And then I hadn't watched it yet. And I think Jessica Jones had already come out. And I did feel that, like, all right, am I going to keep going with the Marvel shows, or am I bailing? Because I just wasn't enthusiastic about watching The Punisher because of the letdown of Iron Fist and The Defenders to a certain extent, although I did like it, but also because when I was like seeing the previews of The Punisher, and I'm like, man, this is grim. I don't know if I want to be in this world every night for a week and a half.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was grim, but I thought it was so well done and it was so surprising. I think that's the thing that I really enjoyed the most, is that I was surprised by it. I was, oh yeah, this is a different story than I thought they were going to tell. And as you got a couple episodes in, I don't think there was anything wasted. There was, you know, introducing certain characters that served a purpose, that their story got told, and the whole thing with was it the FBI or was it the CIA? You know, whenever they have those government agencies, it's always like the CIA versus the FBI.
Alphabet.
Yeah.
Alphabet agency.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that was really good, and it sort of restored my faith in it. And I went right from that into the second season of Jessica Jones.
Now, I will say this, Jessica Jones season 2 was brutal in a completely different way.
Yes.
That was like emotionally brutal and draining. And I watched it at a time when I probably should not have watched it, because I was already down. I was already going through shit. And then I watched that and I was just like, why do people get out of bed in the morning?
Yeah, that one's a bit rough. And I saw some criticisms of that it wasn't as good as the first season. And I don't know about that. I don't know about that either.
I think that comes down to how do you define good. It was different. It told a different story. It was far more emotional and cerebral.
Yeah. Again, I think the same thing. And I did read a blog about after Jessica Jones, and what they said was something along the lines of how the Marvel TV shows, and I think this is a fair criticism, are compelling. You sit and watch it and are kind of glued to it and aren't bored. But at the end, you know, maybe too long and maybe too, you know, not enough story for 13 episodes or what have you. And I didn't feel that way. I think that's a fair criticism, but I didn't feel that way. Like, I just enjoyed putting it on every night and living with those characters and going through what they were going through. Like, I didn't find myself bored at all. But those two really kind of got the Marvel stuff back on track.
Oh yeah, and Jessica Jones has been renewed for season 3.
Saw that.
I haven't seen anything about Punisher.
I think I want to say that got renewed for season 2, but I'm not sure. And I think up next is Luke Cage season 2, I believe. I believe that's the next one. I don't know when. It looks like I just did a little Google search. It looks like it did get renewed for a Netflix officially renewed The Punisher for season 2 on December 12th. So that is going to be coming back. And I think Luke Cage is in the works, and Daredevil season 3. And I think that they were a little surprised, because I think with the Disney streaming service happening, I think there was a little bit of talk like, oh, is Netflix still going to keep
the Marvel shows? Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know if it's because Netflix signed a certain deal, and Netflix produced these. So it's not like the existing seasons are going to go, because I think because Netflix paid for them, they're going to get to keep them. It's more of is Disney going to continue to allow them to make new ones? And I kind of think from everything that I've heard about that Disney streaming service, it is going to be more family, like more PG-13 than anything else. Like,
probably, because Disney doesn't do anything beyond that anymore. Like, they had, The Sword in the Stone, I think, was the PG-rated animated movie that they did back in the day, and like that's as, and maybe The Black Hole, but they typically don't do anything more adult than that.
They do. They just don't call it Disney. They buy another company.
That's what I'm saying. Not under the Disney brand.
They have some PG-13s. Like, I know.
Yeah, but PG-13 is just, it's a throwaway rating anymore.
Right.
That's just, I feel like that's just that's Hollywood's version of YA, right? They created PG-13 in order to shove everything that they could possibly shove under there and say, look, parents, this is fine. You know, just let your kids go see this movie 10 times and give us the money.
Right. It's just like, look, there's going to be violence, but it's not going to be too graphic, and there's not going to be any nudity, and there's going to be some swearing, but not more than they hear in a typical day. It's like, it's not going to be 20 F-bombs, and, you know, that's where it gets to. But yeah, really, when you think about it, that's what the PG-13 is, the rating that will bring in the most people, because adults are still okay going to see it usually, because it's not a kid's movie, but it's...
I've read plenty of things that say that's not why, that the PG-13 is there specifically because kids, teenagers, will go to the movies more than once, more than twice, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times to see the same movie over and over and over again. So that's why they have the PG-13 rating, because that allows kids to go and see those movies without their parents' permission, and they will just keep going over and over and over again.
That makes a lot of sense. Also, you know, my son just turned 12, and he's very aware of, and he's into movies, and he's into, you know, all the movie companies and stuff. And if I'm sure Patrick has heard it many times, whether our listeners have, like my son will just go like on a YouTube jag and like watch the 20th Century Fox theme and logo play 1,000 times. Like, that's, autistic kids tend to be repetitive about these kinds of things, but he's very into like all the different companies, and he can tell you all the years that these companies started. And if it's a movie that he's heard of before, all I have to do is like, George, what year did the Santa Claus 2 come out? He's like, 2003. I'm like, okay. Actually, I think it's 2002. Anyway, he'll throw that kind of stuff at you, but he's very aware of the ratings too, because now he is, you know, campaigning to watch older movies. And he's only recently watched some PG-13 stuff, because I got him into Star Wars, and Star Wars is now PG-13, all the new ones, and The Revenge of the Sith is PG-13. And I've kind of been able to convince my wife that it's like, it's, you know, because all the Marvel stuff is PG-13. I'm like, it's Star Wars. It's like, you know, they're going to have fights. There might be a curse, but he's heard it before. It's not going to be, he'll be okay if it's a PG-13. Because he wanted to watch, speaking of the Disney stuff, he wanted to see the Prince of Persia. So I actually took that one out of the library, and he ended up watching the first 20 minutes and got bored, as did I. So that's not a good one.
From what no, I thought.
Yeah, it didn't get reviewed well, but he was, I'm like, all right, I'll take it out of the library. That's
wasn't that fine. Jake Gyllenhaal?
That was Jake Gyllenhaal doing an English accent for a Persian. Yeah, that was.
And you know that was based on a video game.
I do. I remember when that came out, because that came out either the first or second year that I went to Balticon, because I remember Balticon is usually Memorial Day weekend. And I think they were big, like, this is going to be the start of a franchise, and we're putting it out at the start of the tentpole movie season. And it didn't do well.
No, it was terrible.
I don't think it was that good. So you were saying you were watching Jessica Jones. What else have you been watching lately?
I'm 3 episodes into Lost in Space.
Ooh, yeah. Tell me about that, because that one has gotten kind of mixed reviews, but I've also heard some friends online talking very positively of it. So what's your impression of it so far?
My impression?
Or just what's your opinion of it so far? How's
Well, my impression is, danger, Will Robinson.
That's how that's what the robot sounds like?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it. I saw someone post online that the Robinson family in the 60s was, you know, the perfect family, and how everybody had a quote unquote role in the family, and that Netflix has just completely ruined that. And I'm sitting there going, it was a 60s family.
Yeah.
And the roles were kind of shitty when you think about it. So I like what they've done, and you know, they did not reboot the movie, which is awesome.
Right. I saw that movie in the theaters.
Yeah, I did too. The movie has its moments. I, you know, there's part of that I like and part of it that I don't like. And I really loved the song that they that I forget who it was. It was like a techno group at the time remixed the song, you know. Da, 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 da. And they for the Netflix show, we just talked about the slow burn. Mm-hmm. They like start with the crash.
Okay.
They start with that. And some people have complained about that. And it's just like, you know, when I see the complaints online, I feel like it's with everything else that we see from the community, John, we can't have nice things because people complain.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
So it doesn't matter what they could have done, would have done, should have done, you know, no matter what they produced, there would be a large segment of the online community complaining about it. So I always now take those with 12 grains of salt.
Oh yeah.
I'm enjoying the show. They have flipped it so that the dad is not the super smart scientist. Even Will is not really, at least so far, he's not like the super genius kid. The sisters are very almost polar opposites and they kind of clash a little bit, which I like. And the mom is the super smart scientist, but I feel like she lacks certain like real world skills. And that's where the dad comes in because he's a soldier.
Okay.
And they are not the perfect family and they definitely have issues. Right. And there's things that are going on that they're slowly kind of revealing as the shows are going on. And then you have Parker Posey as Dr. Smith.
That I'm aware of, yeah, which I think is a cool choice.
Oh, she's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, she's been doing, she's just been flipping from mood to mood throughout the show. And, you know, when things need her to be a certain way, she's this way. When things need her to be a certain other way, she's this way. And it's just, it's been really, really good so far. At first I was wondering like, where's Don? Because normally they're, you know, Don West is part of the crew as well. And they didn't introduce him until a little bit later on in the episode. And, you know, he's completely separated from them and he's off doing something else. They have a couple of other characters as well. So it's not just the Robinsons. And there's been some, I will say there are some scientific inaccuracies. If it's cold enough to freeze a lake instantly, rain should not be able to happen.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Stuff like that. But it doesn't take me out of the story. Doesn't make me not enjoy it anymore. It's still, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's contrived. It's this, it's that. Yeah, but it's still better than fucking MacGyver.
Right. Well, the science stuff to me, and I know many of our listeners are very concerned about the science, and I think that's totally legit. But like, look, man, I love Star Wars, so I'm not gonna beat people up on. I mean, unless it's so obvious and takes you, like you said, takes you out. So I guess that's really on an individual basis because if you're someone who really knows that stuff and really pays attention to that stuff, yeah, it'll take you out of it. I guess I'm just not smart enough for that stuff to really take me out of it.
Or I'm not either.
I could just suspend disbelief enough where I'm just. Yeah, it's fine. There's lightsabers. It's cool. Whatever.
I'm enjoying the show. I'm enjoying the moment, the tension, and then you know the weird science thing doesn't make sense. But in my brain, I'm enjoying the moment. I'm invested in the characters and the tension that's going on. And it's not until later on I go, hey, wait a minute. Never mind.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like I said. So that's one that I've been seeing people post about and mostly pretty positively. Like I said, most of it is the negative stuff I've seen has been more in reviews rather than people's that I know.
On Facebook, it's just Netflix is ruined, Lost in Space. I'm never going to watch it. And blah, 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 blah. You know, it's the usual Facebook kind of bullcrap.
Yeah. It's funny though with that stuff. It's funny how we can be more selective now. Maybe some people just watch a lot because a lot of times I will ask. So I posted on Facebook a couple of days ago that, all right, what should I start next? And I haven't actually started any of them, but the three that were kind of in the running were Runaways, which is on Hulu, Into the Badlands, which there are two seasons of that on Netflix now, and the last
season three is turning on AMC right now.
Probably, because if it's second season's on Netflix, that's usually the way they do it. And Preacher, which is on Hulu also.
Another AMC show.
Yes, and I believe the second season of that is already like in the middle of that. And it's funny because I was leaning towards Runaways, but I didn't really get a lot of positive feedback about that. I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes and they gave it like 83%, but you got to kind of watch with Rotten Tomatoes because that number, for people who may or may not know about Rotten Tomatoes, is the percentage of positive critical scores. What Rotten Tomatoes does, and I'm sure you know this, Patrick, but it just all the various newspapers and legit websites or what have you that will review a movie or a TV show. So if Runaways has 83%, that means 83% of the critics, it fell into the positive, you know, column. That doesn't mean it's 83% great. It means that 83% of the people thought it. So whatever that line is, you know, everybody's review could have been like, it's okay, but that'll count as positive. So that's what it is. So even if it's 100%, that doesn't mean it's like the best thing ever. It just means that the percentage of people thought it was good enough or okay. Right. But I'm curious about that one because that's Runaways is the comic was the same. No, wasn't it?
I think Runaways was Joss Whedon at Marvel.
He may have written some issues, but I really thought it was the guy that does Saga, Brian K. Vaughan.
I thought it was, well, we can Google it.
Yeah, I just Googled it. Yeah, it's Brian K. Vaughan. Oh, now, yeah. Joss may have wrote some issues, but yeah, it came right up. It's Brian K. Vaughan. So that's why I would be interested in, because I never read the comic. But like everybody else, I love Saga. It's the only comic that I've read in the past few years, pretty much. So I want that creator and that story. So to me, that's worth watching. And I remember when Runaways came out a couple months ago, it was mostly positively reviewed, you know. So, but of course, when I asked, no one really got back to me about it. And the one person that did said they hated it. So I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, we'll see about that. I don't know. Most people were like Preacher, like they were like really pushing for Preacher, which I never read that comic either, but I'm curious about that one. But yeah, did you read Runaways or?
No.
No. Okay. But you know the sort of the setup for it, that it's like the kids of what they find out, and it's not a spoiler because it's in all the thing, but it's basically like their parents are like super villains. Yes. And they, you know, that's the whole conceit of it. And I guess some of them end up having powers and stuff too, but I don't know. It's
Joss Whedon did the Astonishing X-Men. Okay. That was bugging me. I had to figure that out.
That's okay. So, I understand.
So I haven't seen Runaways. I don't think I've ever read the comic. Yes, the premise, and it's not a spoiler, the premise that happens very up front is that these kids are mutants.
I think so, or just to have powers of some kind, yeah.
And they discover that their parents are part of like a cult or something, and their parents are all planning to kill them.
Oh, okay.
I think is the premise.
Something along that line.
Like to steal their power or something.
Oh,
like that.
Okay. Okay.
Is what I think it's about. I could be just pulling that out of my ass.
No, it's along those lines. If that's not it exactly, that's pretty close from what I've gathered.
Spike is in it?
Yeah, he's one of the parents, I think. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of the Knights of the Old Republic comic from Dark Horse, where the Jedi Padawan, when he's supposed to become, he and his all his friends, all the Padawan, they're supposed to become Jedi, and he goes to the temple, and all the Jedi Masters have killed their Padawans.
Oh.
And his master's trying to kill him, and then he goes on the run. Did you ever see that comic?
No.
That kind of reminds me of this.
Yeah.
So I recommend you, it's now part of Legends. You know, okay. It's not canon anymore. Sure. But it's a great comic series. That's the Knights of the Old Republic.
Cool.
And so that kind of reminds me of that. Preacher, to me, Preacher is a good show. I watched the first season. It's again, it could be a little dark. It could be a little violent. So, you know, it's more adulty, I feel. It's Iron Man's dad.
Right. That's, I knew that. I knew that.
And I believe
we should clear it up. It's the actor that plays Iron Man's dad. It's not. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying in case people are just gonna write you an angry email being like, these comics aren't created, aren't connected at all. What are you talking about? No, it's the actor that plays Iron Man's dad plays.
And I believe the actress, the lead in it, is the woman in the flower dress from Agents.
Yes,
of Shield.
Yes, because she was no longer on Agents of Shield, and I remember looking that up. I was like, oh, because she's on Preacher now, so yeah. She got that gig. So that's,
and then you've got the Irish guy with the funky hair. So it's an interesting show. I don't know how far it deviates from the comics because I may have read the first graphic novel of Preacher. I don't remember at this point.
They came out a long time ago, and that was always back in the day when I used to read Wizard magazine. That was always in like the top three story comics. Like it was Garth Ennis. Is that the name of the writer?
I don't know.
Something like that. But it was always one of those ones where, you know, I was a Capes and Cowls guy, so I never really got over to a lot of those independent or, you know, just non-superhero comics, but that was one that always came up and always got covered and was always really highly rated. And I think that's Seth Rogen's production company that made Preacher. Yeah, because he does a lot of the comic book, like kind of the more independent comic book kind of translations. So
what was the third show?
Into the Badlands.
So I also watched the first season of that. I really liked the first season.
Okay.
I have the second season because I think I just set my DVR to record it.
Okay.
I think I have that on my DVR, and I haven't dove into it at all.
Some of the stuff, I was surprised because I remember you saying you liked it a lot, and I remember when the first season came out that there was a lot of positive, you know, positivity about it. Yeah. And I was surprised because the people that kind of responded to me, a couple people liked it, but there was a little bit of a knock that it's like, oh, the action's great, but there's not much of a story to it. And I don't know if that's accurate. That could just be one or two people's opinions.
Yeah, but I don't think that's accurate. I liked it.
It seems like a cool like world building thing. So anyway, that's my first world problem is I'm trying to decide between. And the thing is too, is like, because there's so much that comes out, it's that, all right, well, if I commit to this and, you know, next week something cool is going to come out and I'm going to be in the middle of something that maybe I don't like as much and maybe I'll just wait. And I do that. That's the time when I end up watching movies. I actually finally got around to watching Arrival. That's been on Hulu for a while. That was great. If you want a thinking man's science fiction, that is the movie. That is great. I really liked that one a lot. And I didn't watch it all yet. I just broke down and just bought it last night. I bought Thor Ragnarok last night and I watched about the first 45 minutes, but I didn't start watching it till like 10 o'clock. And I started like, but the first 20 minutes of that, it's just like one joke after another. It's just, they're all good. It's like really good. Like the humor in it is right on.
Are you to the fight, the big fight in the arena?
No, I didn't get there yet. I'm before that. So
where are you in the movie?
Oh, geez. Hela is just sort of starting to take over Asgard.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not that far into it. Like I said,
I didn't even recognize the actress.
It's
in any of the trailers. I didn't recognize her in any of the trailers. It took me forever for it to dawn on me that it was Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, Galadriel.
Yeah.
Yes. No. I know. No. I knew it was her. It's funny, you know, I hemmed and hawed about buying it because I won't rent movies because like I did last night, I watched 40 minutes of it. And usually the window is 48 hours. Sometimes it's 72 and I think it actually is. So I could watch a movie in 3 nights, but I just kind of feel like, well, if you're spending $5 to rent it, and especially if it's like a Marvel movie or something, like I'll probably watch that again. So I'm just like, I don't know why I'm so hesitant to buy a movie. With this one, I'm hesitant because it will be on Netflix. Like Netflix has the Marvel deal and it will get there. I don't think it's going to be there till May or June. And because I've been behind on all this stuff, I still haven't seen Black Panther yet, but it's still out.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I finally saw that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna have time this weekend, but I might break down and just
loved it.
I know it. Everybody loves it. It's the greatest movie of all time, apparently.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? Let me buy Thor Ragnarok. Everyone said that you don't have. There's no like.
Yeah, you know.
Thor
yeah.
spoilers. You can watch Black Panther first, but it's like, well, I got to get out to Black Panther because then what am I? Am I not going to go see the Avengers movie? Like, I got to go see the Avengers movie. Like, that's coming out at the.
I'm taking the day off to go see the Avengers movie.
I'll wait till it's out for a while, but it's like, you know what? Let me just break down. I'll buy Thor Ragnarok. I'll try to get out to Black Panther because it's still doing well in the theater too. Like, yeah. It's been out for.
It broke all the records.
9 or 10 weeks, and it's still doing well. So it's probably
that tells you something. That tells you right there.
Of course. Well, no, it's not been because I haven't wanted to see it. I just haven't been able to. But I really, yeah. It's funny with buying movies because I was like, especially now with that Movies Anywhere app, it's so nice because then it appears everywhere, and then you get all the bonus stuff. It's like, just buy the movie, man. You're not gonna. it's like, and I bought it, and I have it. Hooked up to my PayPal account, my Google Play thing. So it's like the PayPal money isn't even like real money to me. So it's sort of like, why? As soon as I bought it, I'm like, why did I hesitate? Who cares? It's $15. Like, now you got it. You never have to worry if you ever want to watch it again. My wife will watch it with me at some point because she likes Chris Hemsworth. I'm sure my son's going to get into all this stuff eventually. Like, just buy it. I don't know why I'm such a cheapskate about it. But yeah, so far so good. And yeah, I want to try to get out to Black Panther. I got to do it soon because I don't know if they're going to. Do you think? So I think the Avengers is supposed to be out like April 20. Is it next
27th,
week?
27th. Next Friday.
Oh, well, then it
April
is.
27th.
So I was wondering, do you think Black Panther will be out at the same time or do you think they'll pull it before Avengers? Or do you think they'll.
Here's the thing. As long as Black Panther is still pulling in enough money to justify it, they will leave it in theaters.
I think you're right because I just realized I'm like, oh yeah, because Avengers, they pushed up a week, I think, right? Because initially I think it was supposed to be the first week of May and I think they pushed it up a week.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I saw the movie 2 weeks ago in a full theater.
Oh, I don't doubt
full.
It. I know it's out this
not
weekend.
Not a single seat empty.
Yeah, I looked on my Fandango app. I'm like, let me see if it's still out. And I'm like, yeah, it's still out. Like, it's still in the movie theater by my house. So I'm just like, I can go. I should really try to go this weekend.
So you made me think of three things.
Okay.
So first off, you were asking me what else have I been watching? Wild Wild Country.
I think you chimed in on my Facebook post with that. I don't even know what that is. So let me.
It's a documentary.
Okay.
And Angie Hodapp from Nelson Literary had posted something about it and how people just need to go watch it on Facebook. And so it had popped up in my Netflix queue as a, you know, since I watch documentaries, this might be one I'd be interested in anyway. So I went ahead and clicked on it. And it's a multi-part documentary. And it just it blows your mind. It blows your mind. So do you remember when a cult
what you're talking about.
A town in Oregon?
Yes.
That's what this is all about.
Right. It was from India, right?
And the Rajneesh.
Yeah. And they bought that.
They bought a ranch.
Yep.
And they decided they were going to build a city. And the local town freaked out and said, well, you know, you're not zoned for that. And there's all these zoning laws. And it just blows my mind. They started buying up the town, right? And then they essentially bought the city council because they bought the town and then they voted themselves onto the city council. And then when that didn't get them what they wanted, they trucked in. They decided that they were going to do a program to help the homeless across America. So they went out and they found homeless people all across America and promised them a place to live, two beers a day, food. You know, you're going to have a nice warm place to live. And then they trucked them all back to the city that they bought and, you know, gave them a place to stay so that they could all register them to vote them onto the county commission, you know? So it's just this escalating thing over and over. And it happened right after Jonestown.
Yeah.
And it's just escalation after escalation after escalation. And then when they didn't get what they wanted here, they cooked up salmonella and spread it through the county seat and made a bunch of people sick. You know, I mean, it's just, you're sitting there going, this is real.
Yeah.
This actually happened.
Mm.
And you want to talk about compelling TV? You're just sitting there going, holy fuck.
I don't remember this.
I don't remember any of this. I was
what year is it?
Slightly older than you. 80.
Okay.
Like 79, yes. 80, 81, 82. Okay.
So yeah, we were around.
One of the face of them was this lady, and she was on like Merv Griffin show. She was on Phil Donahue. She was on Nightline with Ted Koppel. She made the rounds. She was almost like a celebrity spokesperson for them. And I don't remember any of that either.
Yeah.
It was just not in my radar or consciousness at the time. And so I'm sitting there watching this and just going, holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I didn't watch it, but Netflix was promoting it where it was like, when you go to the app, it was like the thing that came up and it's the trailer started. And I watched the trailer and I'm like, that's, I don't remember that at all. Cause in the trailer, it shows that it's like, it eventually gets to like armed conflict and you know, it's crazy. It's like, what? I don't remember this at all. Yeah. So I guess, you know, that was at a time where it was, you know, that was well before the 24-hour news cycle. So if you didn't live in that area, I'm sure it became national news, but.
Well, it did because it was on Nightline. Yeah. It was on all these talk shows at the time that were national talk shows like Merv Griffin and Phil Donahue and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She was everywhere.
Yeah.
Because she was just like, I'm going to fight you on everything. You know, you're going to try to use your laws against me. I'm going to use your laws against you.
Yeah. That's really crazy. That's right. Yeah. I will have to check that out. I go on doc phases too. Look, it's a good problem. It lets us be so much more select. Like I'm really ultra selective now because there's so much good stuff that there's really no reason to like watch something out of some sort of habit or obligation. It's got to be like, what's the best thing that I can watch right now? Cause there's always something else coming down the line. And I do get with the docs, I tend towards the music ones. I'll watch those. I'll watch non-music docs too. I feel like I haven't in a while, but maybe that's one to put
if
up there.
If nothing else, it blows your mind that this happened.
Yeah.
And this is real. Yeah. I mean, so you remember the guy who the congressman who was killed at Jonestown?
I don't.
Like,
yeah.
There was a congressman. He went there to check it out, and they ended up assassinating him while he was there. Like they attacked him, and then that's when all the people in Jonestown died as well. They all drank the Kool-Aid. His daughter. One of the moments is like his daughter gets a settlement or something from that, like an insurance, life insurance or something like that. She joins the Rajneesh and gives them all the money.
Wow.
And goes out on tour basically saying, no, this isn't like Jonestown. This isn't like Jonestown. This is different.
Wow.
So stuff like that. The second thing that you brought to mind was the movies anywhere, right?
You buy
a movie and you can watch it anywhere. So Freddie Kish and I were talking because I have the James S.A. Corey books that I bought on Audible.
Right.
I can no longer listen to them on Audible, the first few.
Hmm.
And he is having the same issue. It's like it's showing that he both owns the book and it's recommending that he buy the book.
Okay.
So we got to looking at it and they've made some sort of change, either the ISBN or something. And maybe the publisher lost the rights. Maybe they decided to push out a new version of it. I don't know what they did, but they did something that basically the book that I bought still shows up in my library as something that I purchased, but if I try to play it, it says the book is no longer available. However, Leviathan Wakes is still available on Audible, and it's telling me I should buy it.
Weird.
So I find that strange. I don't know what happened there. Something weird. They changed that. They did change the cover as well. The cover is a different cover. So I'm not sure what happened there. But the thing that I always do, and if you're not doing this yourself, and if the listeners aren't doing this, I think that you are endangering yourself of losing the books that you buy. I download them.
Yeah.
Because you have a full download option. So I go through, and especially when I was buying a lot of books over and over, you know, like I was buying 2, 3, 4 books a month, I would download those books. And I put them out on my external drive. And if I want to listen to them, I can always bring them back and open them up in iTunes and listen to
It's true. It's smart. This reminds me a lot. I suspect with the James S. I. Corey books, there's probably some sort of rights/reprint/something that they're, I'm sure it'll resolve. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I think it would be likely that it will be resolved.
Yeah.
However, this is like a Cory Doctorow thing, man. Cory Doctorow will tell you all the time, and people like Cory Doctorow. Hey man, if you really think about it, your digital content, if you really read the terms of service, you're not buying that stuff. Like,
no,
you're licensing it. So the fact that we think that we're buying this stuff, we're not. And I look, I'm guilty of it. I think I'm buying it and I'm going to have it forever. And because I'm just like, well, Amazon's going to be around forever, so I'll always be able to read it or listen to it or whatever. And that's really not legally what we're agreeing to when we pay our $15 or whatever we have for it. So yes, at any point, this could happen and you may not have access to something that you bought.
So a friend of mine, a published author, had a book with a publisher and had signed a 5-year contract with that publisher. And part of it was they also bought the audio rights and produced an audio book. When the 5 years were up, the rights revert back to him.
Okay.
He goes out and he's going to make another deal. And he's got someone else who is, you know, he also talks to the audiobook producer, which was a separate company. And he's making a deal with them and he's going to do something, you know, with the audiobook as well. And he goes to Audible and the book is still up under the old publisher. And nothing he does can get the book down. And he's like, what the hell is going on here? Like Amazon's and Audible are like, shh, we're not taking this book down. You signed a contract with us. The Audible ACX rights contract is for 7 years.
Okay.
So his publisher signed a 5-year rights deal with him and then agreed to a 7-year rights deal with Audible and never told him. Now, I did a lot of research into ACX and Audible, you know, a couple years ago. And so I knew, as soon as he posted this on Facebook, I knew exactly what happened. I'm like, well, just so you understand, ACX and Audible, their rights agreement is standard 7 years, and they will not change it.
Yeah, that's
so. It's entirely possible. I don't know. I feel like the big five publishers get a much better deal through Audible than anybody going through ACX. But you are probably right. There was probably some sort of rights reversion on the licensing on that audiobook, and now, hopefully, James S. A. Corey is getting a much better deal, a much better cut on the new Leviathan Wakes that's been pushed out. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they're getting a reprint and they're getting a better cut and a better percentage of the profit.
Yeah.
The last thing that you sort of brought to mind that I was thinking about talking about anyway, you mentioned being in a new place.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think that's awesome. I you know, you and I have talked offline quite a bit about your housing. And so I'm ridiculously excited that you and your family now have more space, more room, and you can breathe a little bit.
Yes.
I went out and bought a new car.
I saw that. That's exciting.
And the reason I bought a new car, and you probably know this, there comes a point where putting thousands of dollars into a car is no longer a smart thing to do. And the old car was, you know, I forget how long ago it was, a year, maybe two, I had to put a rear differential into it. So that was a huge cost. Then I had to do the brakes, right? And that was a huge cost. And so I'm driving along and all of a sudden it's wheezing and making noises for about a week. And I'm trying to ignore it because I'm just like, I looked it up and it's worth about $800 because it's an old car. Do I really want to put thousands of dollars into an $800 car? Because I know what's going to happen, right? I already know. I'm going to take it to a mechanic and the mechanic's going to say, oh, it's your flux capacitor and it's out. And we got to reroute power through the secondary ODN conduit. So that's going to cost you at least $2,000. Do I want to do that or do I want to get something new? So I went down and bought a new car.
Congrats.
Things have changed a lot since my last new car. My last new car was in 1999.
Okay.
I don't know what model car you have, John.
I've been leasing the past few years, so I have a newer modern car.
I'm blown away by, first off, they have the Cook Your Privates.
Okay. That I don't have that.
The heated seat. Right? Where it's basically you sit down and suddenly you're sitting there going, wow, I'm sweating in places I didn't want to sweat. Right. They have heated steering wheels.
Okay.
I didn't know that shit. And my initial reaction was, well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And then it snowed. And I was like, wow, this is actually really, really cool. They, everything in the dashboard, everything is a freaking iPad.
Yeah. The two big things for me in a modern car nowadays, it's that the camera in the back where you could see yourself.
I have that.
I can't drive a car without that now. I've totally lost the ability to park without that camera. And that and the Bluetooth with your phone so that you can listen to your music and your podcasts and your audiobooks in the car. I can't live without those two things now. Like I need that with my phone and I need the backup camera.
I did update the old car. With a new radio that had Bluetooth.
Oh, that's
I
cool. had that. Okay, that's cool.
But now the new car has that too. Mm-hmm. And then has like USB connectors.
Okay.
That you can plug other stuff into, right?
That's cool.
But all the everything is a screen.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing physical. Like even the speedometer.
Right.
Is a screen. And I can switch between do I want to see a big number?
Right.
Or do I actually want to see the little arrow going, you know, up? I can click and see the tire pressure.
Right.
You know, shit like that. And I'm just sitting there going, I'm looking at all of this going, it's all going to break. It's all going to break and I'm going to be fucked.
Yeah.
And you guys suck and I hate you all. You know, this is my attitude as I'm at the car dealership. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. There's not any analog physical devices in these things anymore. You guys just suck. You're going to screw me. I know it. So anyway. Satellite radio. Been around for a long time. I'm familiar with satellite radio. I have, you know, if you have cable TV, you have some version of satellite radio, right? Because they always have those music channels.
Right.
Right. In this case, it's Sirius XM. I have Sirius XM on the TV because I have Dish and it just kind of comes with it. I have listened to Sirius XM radio maybe twice since I got Dish, however many years ago I got Dish. So now I'm sitting here in this car and I've got the controls on the steering wheel and I've got this satellite radio and I'm flipping through channels, right? And I'm trying to find out, is there anything on this thing that I would actually ever listen to? Because regular radio drives me up a wall, just drives me up a wall. So I either listen to Spotify on my phone or Audible on my phone. Those are like the two choices that I do now because I can control the music I'm listening to and, you know, obviously audiobooks. But I'm trying to give this Sirius XM a shot because I've got it for free for a year. And I also have, apparently I have an app that shows me all the gas prices in my area.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cool. Except it's also depressing because it's like, really? That's how much gas is now? Fuck. Anyway, so I'm sitting there and I'm flipping through channels endlessly because I'm just like, oh, yeah, no, what's there might be something better. No, there might be something. And I'm just flipping through all these channels. Now, do you remember Jame Gates?
Yes, of course.
So Jame and I have had some conversations where she says that I have lived kind of a sheltered life when it comes to certain things. And I don't disagree with her. I think that I have. And there's stuff that exists in the world that I have just never experienced and don't know about. So imagine my surprise when I get to a channel and I hear two women talking about sex. And they're not just, it's not like Dr. Ruth Westheimer, Dr. Ruth Westheimer is actually speaking, you're on there. It's not like that. It was very, very, very descriptive.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there going, what the hell is this? And there's porn. There is a porn radio channel on satellite radio. And I am now blushing in the car, laughing awkwardly and going, oh my fuck, I can't believe that they have this channel on satellite radio. And in my head, I'm hearing Jame Gates going, I'm telling you, you're sheltered.
Right. Wow. I had no idea. I had no idea that existed. I don't have satellite radio, and that's wow. Well, there you go.
And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, who can I tell? Who can I tell? People can't know this. They can't know that this is out there. They can't know it. I have to tell people. Oh my God, people are going to freak out. They're going to be like me. No, they're not going to be like me. They're going to be like, well, yeah.
Well, it makes a fair amount of sense, but I had no idea that it was there.
I'm telling Jen from Skippy and Fanti and JT this last night at game night. And I'm telling them, and Jen is laughing her ass off at me and saying, yes, she agrees with Jame. I lived a sheltered life.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm like, what? Anyway, I don't know. What a hey, teacher, if you want to listen to that in your car on your way to work in the morning, like, I don't know.
Who would do that? Who would do that? I'm sitting there the whole, like, I had it on for all of 12 seconds. And all of those 12 seconds, I'm thinking, Sister Rosalie knows. She knows that this is on my radio right now. Wherever she is in the world or beyond, she knows. And she is judging me.
Well, there you go. Well. Well, what better way to end a podcast than bringing that up? Once again, I do love these just the two of us, is where 2 minutes before we sit down, it's what do you want to talk about? And an hour goes by and we're ending on porn on the radio. So there you go. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And particularly the ending of it.
Oh, John.
For the people that are backing the show, please continue to do it. Despite this episode or the ending of this episode. That's patreon.com/functionalnerds. Thank you for backing us. If you're not already doing it, please consider doing that. Patrick, other than born on satellite radio, what would you like to let our listeners know? Okay, well, I think we'll just end it there. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.